morning, everybody. I'm just a little bit of a cold, which it doesn't affect my body that much. I'm not like that usual cold/flu tired type of thing. I am though. It's all up here. So my chest is fairly fine. It's all up here. I've been yeah, that's what I need. So I've been sleeping with a toilet roll next to me. I don't know if you've ever had that. In the next morning, there's a heap of little toilet bollikies next. So, all right. I don't know how many of you. I suppose most of you here were here last week. Jock had an awesome message. But it's not about awesome preachers. It's about an awesome Lord. And ultimately, that which was said will take root in us in every way. And so, one of the examples that he used is for those of you that weren't here, he was just saying how he had once a struggle that which you read in Scripture about God and that which you see in his life was not the same. It was different, and so the Lord gave him a little bit of a picture where he was looking at a reflection of a tree in water, and as he threw little stones in it, the ripples would distort the view of the tree. And the Lord said to him, you know, if you would look to the tree, which is the substance, if you would look to me, you will see the real. The problem is our circumstances and situations is many times a reflection that the enemy can trouble. It can, distort in many ways. And the battle really for us as Christians is to look up and to see the tree. It's interesting. Yeah, I shouldn't go into that. But I really enjoyed the message. If you guys haven't listened to it, this is really a good one to consider. But maybe a little bit on that today. We had a couple of weeks, for those of you that were part of our family meetings and just some of the chats that we had as a family. We had a guy that we trust as a prophetic voice amongst us that we knew that a while ago prayed with us as an eldership team. And he pointed out certain things amongst us. And then he said something. He said, you know, guys, I feel there's a spirit of grumbling in the church. So I'm usually quite a positive person. And I was like, no, it can't be. Some other says, no, I think it's there. All right. And the more I've considered and so on, I do think it is something that we need to address amongst us, that we will make sure grumbling is not at all amongst us, that we would trust this morning that the spirit of grumbling will once and for all be out from us. So if you are part of us, please, that will be very good. As a family, we want to walk free from grumbling. It seems like God many times dealt as households, as Israel, with a community that has grumbling. Grumbling is quite a contagious thing. I'll speak about it. More than most things, it becomes a group effort, right? It's not many times an isolated thing. You get a group that becomes grumbling. That's many times the tendency. But if you're here and you're not necessarily so part of us, and you're a visitor, let me tell you, there's few things that we will consider today that will bless you as much as to walk free from grumbling. And so for all of us here this morning, if we can trust, you know, that God will really search our hearts, not in the way that people see us, not in the way that we look in a worship meeting, but in the way every time how we consider, how we speak. You know, last year there was a time, I don't know if I've even told it to the worship leaders, but last year there was a time where we felt like the Lord spoke about our worship and that he wanted to, it was last year, 2 years ago, I can't remember, but he just cleaning out the worship. And so that there's not a song being sung here, but a life that is lived that is different. And so part of the things that I said to the guys, as a worship leader, you're not just picking songs for us on a Sunday. As a worship leader, what you carry should be that you influence our community to worship God. Meaning, you don't just worship on a Monday, on a Sunday here, but there is not grumbling amongst you, because we can't praise God with our lips on a stage and then tomorrow we're grumblers. So who are those? Who are those that influence our community not to grumble, but to have a community of praise or a community of thanksgiving and that type of thing? So we'll trust for that this morning. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 10, if we can quickly go there from, I think I said the 6. Now, 1 Corinthians 10, Paul is now, if he says, now these things took place as an example for us, he's referring to Israel's journey from Egypt to the promised land. So he's looking back at this journey of Israel to, from Egypt to Israel, and he says that that journey from Egypt to Israel actually took place as an example for us, the church, to learn from. He says, now these things took place as examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, these people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Idolatry is like there was false gods amongst them. We must not indulge in sexual immorality. We would understand that, right? Don't worship false god. Please, guys, no sexual immorality in you. All clear with that, okay? As some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. First sin that we could learn from these guys that we should not carry is that of idolatry. We should not worship other gods. Second one is sexual immorality should be out of us. How many of you feel up till now still pretty relieved? Next one. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. So this instruction that happened to the people of Israel, there is a couple of lessons that has been taught to us that will be the lessons for God's people until the end of the ages. Do not worship other gods. Now again, I mean, I'm not as worried that you guys will turn to Buddhism or Islam. Maybe. But there's other more subtle ways that the enemy find that we will worship and find idolatry, right? I understand the challenge that there's definitely a challenge of sexual immorality in different ways in our midst. The act, but we understand the challenges of how sexual immorality finds its way amongst us. But I tell you, as a community, we frown upon those things very easily, very easily. But we do not frown on grumbling that easily. In fact, we make it very much part of us. So this is what happened. The first thing is the grumbling take place amongst the leaders, and what is referred to there, to some extent, that God finally then flows to the whole congregation, and God acted, and He killed close to 20,000 people on one day for grumbling. Well, that's bad. That's really bad. But then there's the second case of grumbling, when God sent out the spies and say, bring to us the report. What do you see? And they come back with the report, and the people of Israel, all that they see is, they just see the distorted reflection of the tree. And they go like, oh, this is crap. And all that they see is this distorted reflection. They can't look to the tree. So other word for grumbling is faithless complaining. Faithless complaining. And so they didn't look to the tree, and God goes like, the very journey that I wanted to take you on is, I've been faithful, I've done all these things, and your response is to just have your eyes stuck on the reflection of this water. And this time, this time the ultimate punishment to Israel is, except for wiping them out, he says, you will no longer enter into the promised land. And it shook me in considering this, that I think many of us are not walking in the promises of God because there's grumbling in our midst. And I want to say, grumbling, even the church becomes a socially accepted activity. And yet, in the view of God, it will be seen as the three severest things that prevents people from walking in the things of God. Second verse. Everything feels a bit, I feel like I need to do a little dance or something here. Everything feels a bit somber. I think it's Carlos, boys Carlos, because Carla Louise is leaving or something. It's a bit of a somber feel here. All right, Leah, let's consider our hearts. Okay. James 5, verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brothers. Do not grumble against one another, brothers. So that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Can I just say that there's judgment that God is putting out? And here is one of the things about the grumbling spirit. I would say it's a critical spirit, definitely. It's a critical spirit. And one of the things that grumbling does as a critical spirit is it judges one another. But Jesus says to us somewhere, he says, you know, watch out in the way that you judge one another, and watch out the judgment that you put out towards one another. For the same measure that you put out to one another, I will put on you. Now, I can tell you many times when a grumbling spirit is around, it is amazing how that thing becomes super critical and become nitpicking on the smallest things and trying the same breath to excuse himself of the very same thing. But James says to us, the very thing that it says that grumbling will not avoid the spirit of judgment on us. Next verse, Philippians 2:14. Do all things, you'll have to do the next verse as well. Do all things without grumbling or questioning. It's simple. I think 15 and 16, sorry. That you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, which this was 15's point, among whom you shine as lights in the world. I want to say a grumbling person, and look, if I say a grumbling person, I'm not trying to excuse myself here. I mean, like, grumbling people, and I'm in that group, right? Just as much susceptible to be a grumbler as all of you, you know, we are all susceptible grumblers. And a grumbler, even though a grumbler can be, he's free from, I don't know, drunkenness, smoking, sexual immorality, he's a fairly moral person, but he grumbles. The feel around him is, I mean, lightless. It's amazing how Christians that are, in its essence, you know, quite morally good. Go to church, do all the things, but because grumbling comes out of them, there's no light amongst them. You don't feel light amongst them. Who's the people that you consider when you're amongst them, you feel like they are the light of the world? And who are the people that you go like, when they are amongst the world or amongst the people, they dim the light? People that's lips are filled with thankfulness and praise shines light. I mean, it's like if we say they light up the room, they light up the world. Yet, moral church-going grumblers does not. They dim the light in our midst. Right. So you guys get the picture here. All right. Now, I want to just consider a couple of things of how grumbling can come to us. or some of the ways that grumbling spread. The first thing, as I said before, is that grumbling it's contagious. So I just want to say, naturally grumbling look for a friend. Grumblers look for a friend. So I don't know, how many thieves are here? I don't know how many thieves are here, everyone. You know, but if you're a thief, you do it in silence usually. Right? When you are like the sexual immoral, it's all in very much in secret actually. But grumblers finds friends. And the nature of how, and that's why it is really a group effort. I just want to say, you get a community that grumbling spreads through it and it sits in that thing. And that's what happened to Israel. Every time grumbling moved through that nation, it started with a person or two people. It started with Moses and Aaron. Started grumbling against Moses. Next chapter, the wider leadership group is grumbling. Korah. I mean, Korah, the earth split in two, and 20 people, like a lot of people, fell in that earth. And just the next chapter, you see the whole congregation is starting to grumble. So grumbling is contagious. We need to know that. And grumbling is socially accepted to do. And so, firstly, I want to say, you're a victim and you're a predator. At the same, you don't know that. You don't know that you don't feel alone when you're the only one grumbling. You need a friend. And you will look for somebody that is susceptible to grumble with you. Until you get him. And then and then you will hope he will grumble with you. And secondly, I want to say to you that you are susceptible to people's grumbling. And that thing is pretty quickly falling on us. As easy as we give our ears to gossip. I don't know. Why is gossip magazines? I mean, why do they sell? Why does news start deviating from true news and trying to figure out if the wife of the French president is a man or a woman? Why? Why does this pull our attention? Because our ears like that. And so our ears are susceptible to grumbling. It's contagious. It's spread. Much more than, anybody up for stealing a bank with me today? We don't do that. The second thing is, I want to say that grumbling starts in our heart. And, you know, we know our heart is deceitful above all else. And we are called, Jesus calls us, to guard our hearts above all things. And understand this. Understand that every offense, everything that knocks on your heart, the second is to grumble. And how it will do, it will first find a grumble in your heart. First finds a grumble in your heart. And I'm asking you guys, I'm asking us that we will guard our hearts in the area of grumbling. The thing is, even though we can keep this nice, if we allow the seat in here, it's a matter of time it comes here. And anyway, God sees our hearts. God sees our hearts. And let me tell you what's in the heart. You know, what the heart is full of, the mouth will speak. And when the heart is full of grumbling, it will pop over. Now, here's the third thing, and this is a wonderful verse, Deuteronomy 1. And you murmured, most translations say, you grumbled. And you grumbled in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Psalm 106, verse 25. They murmured in their tents and did not obey the voice of the Lord. Where did they murmur? In their tents. Guys, I wish, you know where the Lord caught them out murmuring? It was not in the meeting place. It was in their tents. It was in their houses. The Lord says, I saw your tents. I see what goes on when it's just you and your family. I see when it's just you and your wife. I see there where there is a public face and there's a private face. I see the public speech and I see the private speech. And I went to your tents and I see that the grumbling of the heart went into the grumbling of your tents. You know, I said it. I think it's so accepted. And I made the example of the Afrikaner, just because even in the prophecy that was pointed out. But the Afrikaner, at least, I mean all people, but I think the Afrikaner is trained super, super well to have a public face. Yatani. Right? But everybody knows there's a disparity, there's a difference, there's a distinction between the house, between the face outside. I mean, you know, just how often you hear this embarrassing story of a dad with his children speaks to the boss, and the boss is asking, how's it going? And he says, like, oh, no, it's been wonderful. And the child goes, like, but you just complained in the car about this whole thing. Huh? Just a child that just showed people's cards. Right? I wonder if our children... Our children, which we grew up in as children, and the families that we grew up in. But even today, our children have to go like, something is wrong. The speech in the tents and the speech outside, there's a difference. So, a while ago, we as a family, we had a bit of a family meeting. And... we were speaking about how much, I mean, what is the speech in our house? I mean, Marco led the worship so beautifully this morning, right? And now I take the mic and speak so beautifully, telling you guys not to grumble and so on. But we have children, teenagers. So we go, listen, guys, we don't want to be hypocritical here. What is going on here? You know, what is the face that you see here? What is the face that you see at home? What is the speech that you see here? What's the speech that you see there? And so the thing that we spoke about was thankfulness. Now, I would say, I thought, like, you know, as a fairly positive person, you know, I was saying, you know, that everybody had this turn. I'm not going to say what everybody got. Everybody had this turn. Well, you know, and they got to me and thought I was doing fairly well. People say, well, and in the house they said, well, you're positive and all that type of things. But there's one topic when that is mentioned. There's not topic, but one area. Whenever that's mentioned, there's a grumble that comes out of you. And when they said it, I knew that was fully true. Now, in that same area when I'm out there, no, you will not see that face. But when I'm at home, I'm complaining about that area. I'm not thankful. And in retrospect, if I look at this area, I'm speaking now very vaguely. I'm not giving you guys the full juice here. But I mean, just there's an area that I complain, that I'm grumbling in, that I should be thankful. And in thinking about it, I mean, there's just no merit for me to complain about. It's really just my own issue there. Right? But there's an area that I'm not thankful. I want to ask you guys, you know, I want to ask you guys, Have a family time. Let's clean our tents, guys. Please. Have a family time. Have your kids speak into your life. Have your wife speak into your life. Have your husband speak into your life. Husbands, you're ruling that tent. You and then just to clear. You know? Can't just this woman that you gave me, God. I can't hold it anymore. Huh? You to lead that tent. You to set the pace of what is going on in that tent. Right? Is this a tent full of thankfulness? Is it a tent full of praise? Or is it a tent full of grumbling? Have we allowed two distinctions of what's going on in the tent? and what's going out of the tent. And have these conversations with one another. What's going on in the tent, guys, that's what you're going to be judged for, not how you jumped on a Sunday worship. I mean, I want to see the guy that's going to go on a Sunday worship while we're singing Praise the Lord and starts complaining. That's very hard. It's like you don't do that. But you find your time, your opportune time. I had this difficult meeting. I had this difficult time. This one bothered me. I can't wait till I get home and I can just complain and grumble with whoever. Oh, safe space. Grumble space. And so I want to ask, you know, that we would really as families clean our tents and make sure that we stand at the door of that tent and do not allow grumbling to come in. Okay. All right. So, you know, the thing about grumbling, and I'll say this, I said it this morning at prayer meeting as well. There is one way that we can go and say, okay, guys, stop grumbling. But there's a little bit. Grumbling in some ways is a fruit. It's not a root. There's something of grumbling that is an effect of, I said at a prayer meeting this morning, it's like somebody has a big thorn in his foot. And every time the person stands on it, it screams. And so what do? We say, stop screaming. But we're not really, so it's now. And so for some of you to be stop grumbling is going to feel like this. How do we deal with it? Sometimes there's a thorn that needs to come out that's going to help us stop screaming / grumbling, right? And there's a couple of things that I think will pull out the thorn. There's a thorn for some of us that needs to come out, right? Is Amadio here? Amadio, one of the things... What grumbling does. Grumbling, when we are unhappy, we grumble, right? That's a very obvious thing. When we're unhappy, we grumble. And sometimes, you know, what it needs from us to do to prevent and get that thorn out is to acknowledge that I'm struggling or acknowledge that it's going difficult. Now, there's two ways to do that. The first one is, okay, I'm just very truthful. I'm just very real. So you're just going to see what you get. Now, it seems very very honest and very noble, but it's still on a very on a bad level. So I'm going like, I'm not hiding anything. I'll just tell this church is just like this, this, and this. You're just outwardly complaining. You're not complaining inside. You're just outwardly complaining, but you're still making everybody else the weakness, and you're still struggling to show weakness. I don't know if I explained it well here. So, well, maybe what? Let me tell it. Let me tell you guys. So I'll use Stuart. I used the example the other night, but maybe they're gonna rob a bank. I don't know. The other day I said to the guys, look, there could be grumbling in our hearts. And I mean, I told the story the other day. There could be grumbling in our hearts, but you know, the key for us is to be vulnerable. The key for us is to speak about it. And Stuart comes often. Stuart is like, I just love sometimes Stuart's childlikeness. So Stuart comes to me afterwards and he says to me, "Listen, I feel like you're not friendly with me anymore." And that hurts me. And because you're not so friendly with me and hurts me, and it feels for me, you're friendlier with other people than with me. We stand in a circle, you greet the others with a hug. For me, I just get this. So who of you know to share this? All of us have felt at some stage like that. I mean, it's not an unknown feeling. We understand that type of feeling. But it's freaking hard to acknowledge that and to say that. So Stewie comes to me and he says, listen, man, the way that you sometimes speak to me versus other people, it hurts me. You know? So I'm like, oh, Stewie, I'm just so sorry. But then, like, I'll focus to hug and smile as big as to the other people. But I had to search my heart, you know. And then I actually realized that there's something in my heart. A couple of weeks before that, Stewie, I told the story the other day, but we were at prayer meeting, and I came a little bit late, like 1 minute at the best. But I had the key, and as I come in, he gives this comment. He says, oh, is the pastor now all out come? Now, he was joking, you know. I'm sure he was. I don't know. So then but something in my heart got a bit of an, I was like, what? Who? And then what I did is, I was a little bit cold towards Stewie. I'm not going to give you that hug. I'm just going to give you this. Right? And so actually what he picked up was probably a reflection of what was in my heart. Right? But there was something grumbling in his heart. I don't know if there was something in my, but there was something cold towards him. So, and that thing would have just been there. But then what happens? You know, he was vulnerable enough to share weakness. That's a vulnerable thing to share. It's like our disposition is to go like, I'm fine, I can handle this. But I'm telling you, that's like keeping a thorn inside. It's like, I'm fine. I'm fine. Ah! It's not the way to go about. So, Amadia, I quickly want to have Amadia tell a story.
Okay, so with that. What Gala shared about sometimes it's just sore when that feeling sits in your heart. So I battled a bit just with capacity the last couple of months since I'm pregnant, and I had this thing in my mind like I can still do everything that I used to do before, but my body doesn't want to. And then especially taking up kids' church and stuff. That was a lot more on my plate, but then just my body couldn't like keep up with it, and grumbling in my heart starts to, or just like the temptation to grumble, and it's a thing in your heart that just like it started, and every time there's something else that comes, it's just that feeling of, oh, why? And I think sometimes we have a culture where we share sometimes easily. And you are vulnerable, but you're not vulnerable to the right people. And so I think in the beginning it was just like, I have this, I'm carrying this, it's heavy. But I never spoke about it in the beginning. And then later you share with people, oh, it is tough, but I can man up, I can do it, and I can be strong. But still that feeling is in your heart, and that feeling of grumbling, the spirit of grumbling is still there. And I think through this, it really, the Lord showed me, like, you need to speak to the right people. You need to be frank to the right people and tell them and be honest, like, I'm struggling. And there's nothing, you can be weak. The people are loving you. You can tell them. And then with that, so then one evening when we had elders meeting, I just told them, I can't do this. and then just that sense of relief that comes with that, to be open to the right people, to share, like, I'm struggling. And then the problem can be solved. But otherwise, if you grumble towards the wrong people, then it's grumbling. Then you're not sharing. Yeah.
So I'll just make the way that so firstly she opened up in a week, but there's two ways of how you can do it. The church is laboring me. The church is, I don't know, grinding me. Now that's not being vulnerable, right? But say, I'm struggling. I can't do this anymore. And can I say to you guys, just as Amadia is one of the most can-do people that I know. And Amadia is one of the people that you feel she's with you all the time. The smile is there all the time. Now, I can say it's almost been to the extent that I think it could be a little, I must be careful here not to dissect there, but almost a bit of an identity for her. And so when the day come that Amadia couldn't anymore, it was so hard actually for her to acknowledge, I can't anymore. I struggle. And if it wasn't for that thorn that was pulled out, and I tell you, for some of you, you would rather die than to acknowledge, I can't anymore. I struggle. This is difficult for me. There's this pride that keeps that freaking thorn in. And then we start going, yeah, but it's you guys. It's you. Instead of going, I mean, anyway. So that will be the first one. The second one for us to I think that we need to get out of us is Matthew 18. This is a one for me that's quite important. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Now, guys, there is things in the body that's going to happen between us. That something is going to happen or something is going to say. I tell you, what is the easiest? To confront the person, to go and say, for Stewie, you rude with me when you greet me. Or you don't do it. That's hard. That's harder than find a friend and go, you know, this Stewart or this guy, you see how rude he is. That's much easier to do. And I wanna say, even to the elders, do not, we need to deflect people. You know, I at some stage when I was coming into leadership, it was interesting for me when, or how I at times would enjoy the fact that people have problems with one another and they will tell me about it. And so at some stage, I would then kind of try and be the judge and hear and so on. And I know one man once challenged me and said, like, why are you doing it? That's not what the Bible says. You know, go and tell that, let that person go and tell that other person. And I mean, it is amazing how quickly problems get solved. It's amazing how quickly problems get solved. And it's amazing how quickly people get over their problems if they have to go and confront one another about it. Now, there is safety in the body. I understand that there's abuse and sometimes relationships that's not right. And so therefore, there is a second tier where if it continues and there is something that's not right, then you bring two or three people in to consider with you the situation. But where? With them to the person, right? It doesn't happen behind the back where there's a grumbling about one another. You guys here, and here again, we can be a victim or we can be a predator in this. We stand guilty in both, right? The predator is going and complain or grumble about a person that does something, and then the victim goes like, and before you know it, you're in there. We are to, for all of us here in the body, Can we just like establish a Matthew 18 household here, please? That we deflect one another. And I haven't spoken to the elders about it, but I think we need to set the example in this instance that we would deflect people to firstly sort out situations like that instead of just being the soundboard. Amen. You see, guys, I hope the conviction is deep or something. This is like a... All right. Number three. Number three is, you know, grumbling, the opposite of grumbling, and I think we spoke about it now already. It is faithless murmurings. That's what it is. And so the opposite, the antidote for grumbling is to have a culture of thankfulness and a culture of praise. Praise is my expression of faith many times. Praise is my expression of faith many times. Thankfulness is my expression of faith. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, I think it's verse 17, it says, be thankful in all circumstances. When can I not be thankful? When I'm not thankful for all things, but I'm thankful in all things, all circumstances. In all circumstances, I can find myself still to be thankful. And I want to say, you know, as we need to be honest with ourselves, as grumbling starts popping up, and it is this displacing thankfulness and praise, that we will, you know, praise will become our weapon. Praise will become our weapon. I'm telling you, the grumbling finds a seat for the enemy. Grumbling finds a house for the enemy. The devil go and sit there. He's having a feast there. I tell you, the devil do not like when, I mean, this might sound obvious here, but I really want to say this. The devil don't find a house where there's praise. The devil don't find a house where there's thankfulness. It's like, what type of house, what type of place do we find? A house of grumbling where the devil goes like, ooh, I feel so low. It's like, I can't remember the Psalms number now, but it's like, God is enthroned by the praises of his people. The devil is enthroned by grumbling. Yes, and that was powerful. I think that I'm going to coin that one. I just thought of it. It's so powerful. The devil is enthroned by your grumbling. You give a house to the devil. It's faithless. It's looking at the deflection. It is honoring his work. You have distorted me. You have deceived me. Wow. You've got my eyes off the Lord. And I just want to honor you, devil, that I don't see the Lord anymore, but I see the distortion that you bring, and I just want to hover here, meditate on it, and consider it, and speak it out. Praise to the devil. But if we can, in the midst of that, oh, how powerful, when distortion, and he throws everything at us to bring distortion, and to get our eyes off the tree, and we praise the Lord. We thank the Lord. We hit that crown off him, and we crown the Lord for who he is. We don't make him God. He is God. We just acknowledge him for who he is. We decide that. Who are we going to crown every day in our lives? Last point is, I have found, guys, that spectators murmur more than players. And so what I mean by that is, in the church, people find themselves in different places. Either you are those that are on the field and play with us to bring the kingdom of God, or you're merely an attendant, an observer, far enough to be just a spectator. Spectators, even in real life, sit from afar and loves to be critical and grumble. Why is the worshipers again like this? Why is this like this again? Why is this like this? Why is the chair specked out like this? Why is this like, come on, be a son with us in the house. Fight with us. Play with us. Contend with us. I've just found people not playing and people on the pavilion gravitates to grumbling considerably more than the players. And for some of you to get that thorn out will be to get off that pavilion and on the field. You know, it's one thing. It's one thing to be critical on the field. It's another thing to come here and try and do this. Come and wrestle here. We'll fight with us. It's a complete different thing. Amen. All right. So let's pray. Let's consider out. Maybe we can do. What is that first? Yeah. Okay, guys. So I'm gonna ask you guys to be brave now. So I want to close your eyes. The reason why I want to close your eyes, because this thing can fall under group pressure either side. And I don't want it to be group pressure. Everybody's hands are up, so my hand is going up. Nobody's hands are up now, so my hand's not coming up. I want it's you and the Lord. It's you and the Lord. So even the worship band, just maybe don't engage in music now. Just engage with the Lord, and then we can. So I want to ask, if you know in some way you've allowed grumbling in your life, in whatever capacity, can you just put up your hand, please? So Father, I know the first step, I think the hand is good for acknowledgement. It's efficient. So Father, I know that the first step of dealing with a matter is to acknowledge it. But Father, it's the first one almost is to show weakness, is to show humility, is the way that you pluck that thorn out. And Father, as you see our acknowledgement that, yes, there's grumbling amongst us, Lord. I pray, Father, as we acknowledge that, Lord, that you will come and rip that thorn out amongst us. Father, I want to pray for those that struggle to be weak and vulnerable, struggle to really share what has happened in their hearts, Lord, that you will give them the courage. Father, I pray that we will break in Jesus' name, this brave face thing, that we will break this I need to be strong thing amongst us, Father. I pray, Father, that we will honor our weakness, that we will celebrate our weakness, Father. And Father, that we will find an environment where we can share that with one another, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that the way that we relate with one another and the way that we connect with one another, Father, I pray, Father, that we'll honor that relationships and confront even at the cost of it's being difficult, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that where we have crowned the devil and not crowned God, where we've crowned the devil and not crowned God, Lord, that we will start crowning you in our lips in the way that we praise. Father, I pray for every person that's on the pavilion, Lord, that you will call them to play. That you will call them to play. Father, we want us people. Maybe can all the if you're a man and you lead a household. I mean, you're a man, you lead the household, just if you were wondering. So if you're married, can all the married men, stand. Father, I want to pray for our men, Father, as the watchmen of their tents, the watchmen of the tents of their houses, Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray, Lord, that they will be guards of their tents And that tent will be a household of praise and thanksgiving and not a tent of grumbling. Father, I pray that they will take responsibility of the state of the tent in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray that they will not throw responsibility. It's the woman that you gave me and all that type of things, Father. But Father, wisdom in that area and how to stand at the gate and make sure that the tents of our community, Father, are tents of praise and tents of thanksgiving, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray for every man here, Father, to stand strong against that area, in that area, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen.